Welcome to Belmont. Happy New Year. I'm Pastor John. Good to be here with every single one of you this morning. How many of you guys here have already broken one of your New Year's resolutions? Anybody at all? Whatever. How many of you did not make any? You said, forget about it. All right, there's a common theme here. I remember way back in 1999, I was not walking with Jesus, and I had made a New Year's resolution, though, that I was going to quit smoking. And so I was a pretty heavy smoker back in my construction days, and quitting was easy, right? I mean, I used to say I did it every Monday. And so every Monday morning I would try to quit, but 1999 was coming up and it was the year. So I was hanging out with my friends, heading up to midnight of, 2000. And so as I was getting down, of course I had a pack with me, and I was a Marlboro man, of course, but had a pack of cigarettes with me, and I was kind of babying those things. I was just kind of working through those, and I was kind of halfway about this resolution, and then I got down to just two or three, and I pulled one of those out, and I stuck it behind my ear, because that's the cool thing to do. And so I stuck it behind my ear. We're hanging out at this party, and got down, got rid of those other two, and I just had the one left. And so my plan, not a good plan, my plan was that was going to be my last one. And I was kind of worshiping it a little bit. I was kind of like babying that. And chances are, in that moment, things were not going to go well, that I was just going to be able to lay that down because I was idolizing this thing that in my back of my mind I was saying I wanted to let go of. Really, this thing that had a hold of me, it had a grip on me. And so as we got like 2 or 3 minutes away from midnight, I had been telling everybody, this is my last one. This is my last one right here behind my ear. And my buddy Mike Knox walks up to me when I wasn't paying attention, and he grabs that cigarette from my ear, throws it on the ground, and stomps it all into like a million pieces. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? And he's like, man, cut it out. Just cut it out. What are you doing? This is stupid. And right there in that moment, those words kind of hit me. Like, I needed to hear that. I needed somebody to speak into my life and say, quit what you're doing. Like, you're talking about it and you're making something big out of this. And really what you need to do is just stop it. In that moment, I got some freedom. Even though I wasn't walking with the Lord in there in that time in my life, God was drawing me toward him. And in fact, the next year, the year 2000, would be the year that God would really knock me off my horse and knock me to the ground and say, hey, dummy, wake up. It's time to start following Jesus. And so God used that guy in my life to help me lay down a habit. And so this year, we're opening up our year with a sermon series called Helping People Be. That is, helping people be who God created them to be. The thing is that we as a church have the opportunity, we've been invited into this story by the Lord Jesus Christ to help people be who he created them to be. Another way of saying that is that he wants us to go and make disciples, people that follow Jesus. And we are invited into that, and that we get to help people be who they were created to be. Every person created uniquely in the image of God, and God has a special plan and a purpose for their life, and we get to come along and be a part of that story. And so, just like my friend Mike spoke into my life, and I needed that, I needed him to help me get to that next part of my story. In the same way, you and I as a church this year and in the years to come are going to be a church that really more and more, we already see it happening, but more and more are a church that helps people be who God designed them to be. And so that is the sermon series that we're entering into. Our message for the day, if you're taking notes, I hope you are, is entitled, Show Me the Way. Show Me the Way. And so, in our city, there are people who are like me and like you. People who are just confused and they're not sure what to believe. People who are lonely and they're isolated. People who are lost and they don't know what their purpose in life is. And we want to be a church family that speaks into those things. And so for those people who are confused and they don't know what to believe. We want to be a church that is able to speak the truth to them and in love and bring them along to be who God wants them to be. And for those people who are lonely and isolated and they don't have a family to call their own, people who are trying to do life by themselves, let me tell you, it doesn't work. It's not the way that God designed it. And so we want to be a church that embraces people who are living on the fringes and who are lonely and invite them in to let them know they're a part of this church family. And beyond that, we want to be a church for those people who are lost, who like not sure what they're supposed to be doing in life. Maybe even some of us right here go, you know, I just kind of feel like it's 2020, but I don't know who I'm supposed to be. Like, what am I supposed to be doing in this season of my life? My prayer for you this week has been that this would be the year that God makes really clear to you how he wired you up and what your purpose is in this season of life. And I think it's going to be a good year. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 9 for a sermon called Show Me the Way. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you have shown the way through your life, through your death on the cross, through your resurrection. And so, Lord, I pray that today, as we enter into this new year together as a church family, Lord, that you would give us a vision for who you want us to be. Lord, that we could look down the road and see all the great things that you have coming our way. And Lord, that we could live into those things. Lord, that we'd be willing this year to swim beyond the barriers, beyond the breakers, Lord, into uncharted waters and to go to places that would really cause us to have to really, truly rely on you to see those things happen. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Show me the way. Because a lot of people don't know the way. In fact, back in the 1970s, there was a guy, you might have heard of him, if you're my age or maybe a little bit older, called Peter Frampton. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Peter Frampton? All right, got like five people here. So, all right, thank you, sir. I see that hand. So he wrote a song, you'll hear it start playing here in a second, but he wrote a song called Show Me the Way. And some of the lyrics to that song go like this as he starts out. I wonder how you're feeling. There's ringing in my ears and no one to relate to except the sea. Who can I believe in? I'm kneeling on the floor. There has to be a force. Who do I phone? The stars are out and shining, but all I really want to know is, won't you show me the way? Let's turn it up a little bit. All right, you're a child of the 70s. Yeah. So he's singing this song saying, he's really crying out in this song to a girl that he's just recently met. And he's kind of like a man that's drowning, right? And he's hoping that this person that he just met is going to be able to show him the way because his life is confused. He's lost. He's not sure what path he's supposed to be on. And so he writes this song for this new girl that he's just recently met saying, hey, I could try to read the stars. I could try to phone somebody. There has to be some kind of a force out there, but I'm just not sure what it is. Maybe you're the one that could show me the way. And so today we're going to see the story of a man who needed to be shown the way. His name was Saul, and he was a man who thought he knew the way, but it turns out that he really did not know the way at all. And so we're going to go to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9 says this. But Saul, that's going to eventually become the Apostle Paul, is this guy who knew a lot about Judaism, knew a lot about the Old Testament, and he is a guy that when Jesus came and died on a cross and rose again, couldn't see Jesus. His eyes were blinded, and he really couldn't embrace the truth that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And there was this group of people that began to believe in Jesus. They called themselves The Way, which is a cool name. So The Way are these people that were following Jesus because they realized that Jesus was the way and the truth and the life. And Paul hated this. In fact, it really made his blood boil, and he began to chase these people down, and he began to arrest them, and even went so far in chapter 8 that they began to stone one of these followers of Christ. His name was Stephen. And as they began to stone this man named Stephen, the Bible tells us that all the people that were doing the stoning laid their coats or their robes down at the feet of Saul so that he could watch over them while this thing was happening. But he didn't stop there. He went to the Jewish rulers and he got papers to say, you know what? There's a whole lot more of these followers of the way, and we're going to chase them down. We're going to go, no matter where they are, I'm going to chase them down, and I'm going to drag them back to Jerusalem, and they're going to stand trial, and they're going to be in prison for the things that they've done. And so Saul says this, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. You know, there's something really interesting here in the fact that Saul is chasing down members of the way. And then Saul begins to go on his own way. And there's really two choices in life, in the life that we live. It's either God's way or it's our way, right? And so people of the way were following God's way. They were following Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Saul just did not get that. And he went on his own way to chase these people down and bring them to what he thought was justice. Now he went on his way. He approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. This is the conversion of Saul to the Apostle Paul. And this, point number one, is the way to believe. You see, as we're helping people be who God created them to be, the first step in that process is for people to come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul was a guy who had no intentions whatsoever of changing his ways. He had his own plans in mind, and he was all about those things. And then he had an encounter with the living God. He had an encounter with the living Christ. And as he was on his way, he got knocked off of his horse onto the ground, totally blinded, and God took over. You see, when the Lord works in our lives, when the Lord brings us to salvation, it can seem like a pretty powerful, life-changing thing. And it might seem to some of us like God is taking away our former life and stripping of us of things that we wanted to hold on to, whether it's a cigarette behind the ear or whether it's a lifestyle of legalism. It's easy for us to believe the wrong things. So people in this life, in our city, in our community, they're confused, and Saul was confused. He was following the way of legalism. That is, he thought he was being super duper righteous, right? He thought like he was being all that because he was so high and mighty, he was so self-righteous that he was going to track down anybody that didn't believe like he did, and he was going to give them what they deserved. And he even says later on in the scriptures that, hey, I was the kind of person that kept every little piece of the law. I did everything just right. In fact, I mean, I had built up all these works because he thought at that time that he was working his way to God. And so when we talk about people that are confused in our community, there can be different ends of the spectrum. People who are believing that because of their self-righteousness and because of their works, that they can work their way to God, and that they really have kind of quit believing and they are just kind of going through the motions of religion. But on the other end of the spectrum, there could also be people right here in this room or right here in this city who are also confused, but in a different way. Instead of adhering to a whole bunch of lists and rules and regulations and trying their very, very best to keep those, they've gone the exact opposite direction, and they've thrown off all restraint. And they've said, I don't believe in God. I don't even know if there is a God. Therefore, I am my own God. They maybe have never actually said those words, but we've all lived that way. We've all made up our own rules and lived in rebellion to God and said, the things that the Bible teaches, I don't have to believe those. Where we came from, who knows? So if I decide to live this certain lifestyle and to do what I want to do, then that's just up to me and nobody else can tell me what to do. Either way, whether it's a self-righteous, hypocritical, religious person, or whether it's a person who's thrown off all restraints and gone buck wild, there is confusion until that person comes face to face with the living God and they realize that they can neither work their way to Jesus, and they also realize that God is not unaware of their actions, and that the only way that they can know the God of the universe is for Him to act on their behalf and to pour out His sovereign grace upon them. The truth is that those of us who know Jesus realize that we had nothing to do with it. That we were doing our own thing, our own way, whichever way we were doing it, whichever part of the spectrum you were on. And then one day, boom, God knocks you off your horse and He opens your eyes and He knocks you down on the ground and He makes you realize that you're not all that. He humbles us. He brings us to a place where we're on the ground, we feel blinded, and somebody else has to show us the way, right? Somebody else had to take Saul by the hand and lead him into Damascus because he could not see where he was going. As we are helping people be this year, the very first thing that we want to help them with is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His wonderful, loving grace that He has poured out on them. But then it doesn't stop there, because we see that in our Show Me the Way sermon that there's a way to believe, but there's also a way to belong. Verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, you're crazy. Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house of the Lord and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. The way to become. You see, when you come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you automatically are adopted into the family of God. The adoption papers are signed, the deal is done, you're already automatically a part of God's family. But then there's the actual living of that out, where you begin to meet and interact and do life with other people that are part of God's family called the church. And you might be here today and say, well, I don't know. You might be like me back when I was coming out of my heyday and thinking, man, if people know what I've done in the past, they won't open the church doors, amen? Like when I show up, the building might fall down. Or if I walk into there, the place might catch on fire. I mean, you've heard all the things, right? Or if people find out what I've done or who I am, they won't want me to be a part of this family. Those are the people we want, right? This is the place for those people to come because we are those people. And so right here in this situation, Saul is praying and he's blinded and his heart's been changed and he's come face to face with the living God and everything has changed. And now there's the question of whether or not he's going to be allowed to be a part of the Christian community the way that he's been persecuting is now going to show him the way. And so Ananias at first is a little, as you might suspect, is a little, I'm not sure about this guy. I mean, this guy is killing people like me. Like, why would I let him in? But we don't hold people's past against them. Amen? We don't hold what we've done in the past against people. Why? Because God has forgiven those things. Because God has washed those things away with the blood of Christ. And who are you and I to say somebody can't come and belong here and be a part of this family? Amen? All born-again believers are part of God's family regardless of what they've done in the past. You know, we've had the opportunity to have a new person become part of our church family here recently. His name is Josh DeFreeze, also known as DeFreezy, right? Everybody say DeFreezy. All right, come on up, Josh. I just made $15, by the way, by saying that. You got that microphone, my friend? And you got that money? I'm just messing. So Josh is going to share a little bit of his story with us as a way for us to get to know him as he's come on board with us as a church plant, as a, not church planting apprentice yet, but as a worship leader apprentice. And so God's just blessed this little church with the opportunity to pour into folks who feel called to ministry, whether that's going to be vocational ministry or ministry that's lay ministry. And so I want you to get to know Josh a little bit. He's going to share a little bit of his story about belonging to the community of faith.
Good morning again. So I grew up in a little town called Smithfield, Virginia. It's about 4 hours down 460. From here, you hop on 460, and then in about 20 minutes from my house, you make a left, and you're pretty much there. I grew up in a couple of different churches. I don't remember the one that I went to before I was in elementary school, but in elementary and middle school, we started going to this church. It was called Mill Swamp Baptist Church. It was smaller than this, and they had a youth praise band, and everybody in that praise band was graduating, aging out when I was in middle school. And my mom came to me. I had been playing guitar for a couple of years, and my mom came to me and said, "You should start a youth praise band with your friends." And I was like, "I gotta be honest, Mom. I don't feel like I'm ready to play on a stage and be in front of people." And she was like, "Okay." And so a couple Sundays later, I was on stage. And I'm still really grateful for it. She pushed me. She allowed me to have that opportunity, got in contact with the pastor, got me and my friends up on stage. And it was kind of that first Sunday that really had me realize, like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And so I continued to pursue music. We left that church right as I finished eighth grade. And as I was starting ninth grade, we went and wound up at this new church. It was the second campus of a mega church that was beginning to boom in our area. And after about a year there, I began to get plugged in with the worship pastor, spend a lot of time with him and his wife at their house. And he really poured into me, gave me some opportunities to play on Sunday mornings, play guitar on Sunday mornings. And he and I kind of started a youth praise team at that church. Our student ministry there was like 100 kids. And so I was leading worship there every week. And then when he left me in charge of that ministry. And so it was because of the foundation that he laid in my life that he poured into me, gave me that opportunity to step up and to serve. I am where I am today. I just graduated from Liberty, looking to pursue worship ministry and biblical studies. And it's all because he was so faithful, my worship pastor, in building me up, giving me opportunities to use my talents, allowing me to step out and take risks and not always do them perfectly, but allowing me to learn, allowing me to become myself and find out exactly what I had to offer the church, and it set me on this trajectory. And so now I stand before you as a worship leader of almost 8 years, and I'm privileged to be a part of this church and to continue to use those gifts that God has built in me, use the experience that I have to glorify him here and to build you guys up and to be built up in the same way. That's what I got.
All right. Thank you. Do me a favor. Let's make sure that over the next few months, we go out of our way to welcome Josh as a part of this family as he's going through his apprenticeship here. And if you want to invite Josh out to lunch after service one Sunday, Josh, you good with that? Yeah? All right. He'll text us a list of all the places. No, I'm just kidding. So we are so blessed to be able to have him be a part of this family, but also as God brings in new families, you might be here today and you might consider yourself rather new to this church family. Well, we want to make sure that you know that our doors are open to you, that we want you to get connected here, that we want you to feel connected, not just be connected, but we want you to sense that this is your church family. And so if for any reason you're ever not feeling like that and just saying, hey, I'm feeling a little disconnected, reach out and say, hey, let me get plugged in somewhere. Or, hey, I'm going to reach out to Wes, our leader for community groups, or for Ed and Christy Shepherd, who are in charge of our volunteers, and say, hey, let us get you plugged in somewhere, because we really do want to be a church that welcomes new people and that doesn't make you wait for 2 years before you can get involved, but to say, hey, you can start serving now and get involved now and belong to this family right away. And so there's a way to believe, there's a way to belong, but there's also a way to become. And this is a really cool part of the story of Saul here, because picking up in verse 20, it says that he was for some days with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately, this is so cool, you know, when you come to saving faith in Christ, you automatically have at least one spiritual gift that God gives you, and then you can put that into use. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. So here he was, right? The guy who was going to the synagogue to try to arrest people for doing this was now doing the very thing that he was formerly against. And he said, he, Jesus, is the Son of God. And on all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? That was his purpose. That's what he was about. But the really cool thing is this, is that as you go through this believe, belong, become process of getting closer and closer with the Lord, that your purpose changes. The purpose that you had before Christ becomes something totally different. And in this new year, it's a wonderful opportunity for each and every one of us, for our church as a whole, but for you individually, for your family, to identify, Lord, what is the purpose that you would have us be about this year? That is a great dinner table conversation to have with each other and say, what would we say God's purpose is for us this year? What story is he inviting us into? And then just dive into that and live that out this year. And so he goes on to say, has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. And so Paul did not stop where he was, but he says he increased all the more in his ability and his gifting to share the gospel, because he had a really strong apostolic gift to be able to share the gospel, to be able to evangelize people and share with them what had happened. And throughout the book of Acts, he shares his story, his God story of how God changed him. He shares it multiple times. You know, as we talk about becoming who God wants you to be, part of that is figuring out what your purpose is, how you're wired, what you're good at, how God made you, and then putting that into practice. You'll never be fulfilled in life just by believing and belonging and then sitting and soaking. Instead, you'll be most fulfilled when you believe in Jesus and when you belong to his family, but then when you become what he made you up to be, how you're wired, when you put your giftings into practice like Saul was doing here in this picture, you begin to really experience growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. You really become who God made you to be. And that's the kind of church we want to be, is that we want to reach people who are far from Christ and help them be who God made them to be. But we also want to be doing that ourselves. There's never a graduation point where we just stop. We're always increasing in our own faith. We're always going to deeper and more authentic levels with people in our own community of faith. And we're also learning more and more about who we are. And like Saul, we want to be strengthened in that gift and become better and better at that gift. We want to have somebody that we're bringing along with us. Saul, soon you'll see in just a few verses, if you read on, had a guy named Barnabas that was showing him around and helping him to become this person that God intended for him to be. In fact, Jesus tells Ananias, remember, he said, just wait. I'm going to show this guy how much he's going to suffer for my name's sake. That's just a little warning for us to say, yeah, as we go about this year of helping people, reaching people, that it won't always be easy. The evil one does not want people coming to believe in Jesus. The evil one does not want people to be a part of this church family and to flourish in their giftings. But God does. And we believe that we're going to see that happen time and time again, like we've been seeing in years past. Let me explain to you real quick. Josh is going to come forward and play a little music for us. But as we talk about helping people be, let me clarify that just a little bit more by saying this. Helping. We're helping. We are not the causal agent, right? We are not making people be. We're not forcing people to be. We are helping in the process. God has invited us into this discipleship story to help other people follow him. And we get to help in that process, which is a really cool thing, right? And it's really a life-giving thing that when you help and you see what God is miraculously doing in a younger believer's life, it really pumps you up. And we're not just helping, but we're helping people. You see, we're helping people that were made in God's image. We're not just doing projects. People are not just projects for us to work on and to fix and to make them more like us. We're helping immortal, eternal beings flourish miraculously, wonderfully, into who God wants them to be. And that is an amazing opportunity for us to be able to take part in. We're helping people be who God created them to be. That means that we're helping people find out who they are. We're helping people live in their destiny, if you will. That is the destiny that God has for them, not who they want to be in their own mind, but truly who God created them to be. And we can do that together as a church family this year. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord Jesus,